You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Housewives of
True Crime. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Uh-huh.
How's it?
Dude, it's happening.
Well,
summer's around the corner.
It is today for me and my children.
Oh, God.
So it's the last day of school, which is full of, I don't know, like I feel some sort of pressure to do something with my children fun because it's the last day of their school.
That's fun. Where did all this pressure come from? When we were kids, it was like the last day of school. That was the fun thing.
I know. You know what I do love, though? I pick up the kids from school and I blast that like Alice Cooper song, "School's Out for Summer."
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah.
I might steal that. You've got to do it. It's so fun. And then I noticed after I picked one of them up, I've got a freaking nail in my tire.
Lord help you. You have bad luck
this car.
With the car shit.
Dude, you guys. So remember, I got a new car and then the transmission went fully out. Like it needed a new transmission after 4 weeks. So it's been gone for 4 more weeks or 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Got it back 1 week ago. Now I have a freaking nail on my tire. I haven't even told the husband. He's going to be like, so pissed.
Yeah, annoying. Annoying. Well, you know, the thing
fault,
for
though.
Me over here is I feel like guilty ending homeschool. Like, I'm just continuing it.
Because you're kind of like,
yeah, because we took a lot of days off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and I'm you just registered kind of like writing it out.
You registered your kids for school.
Oh, they are ready for the fall.
They're like, boom. Where's your paperwork? Remember the school asked you for like your documents for your kids.
I know. Well, yeah. But we might have to move, turns out. So I don't know if going into that school. Yeah,
right.
I got
99 problems.
Stressors. That's right. 99 problems. But you know what? I am just counting down to I signed my kids up for a day camp. Oh, my
God. I love it.
Every day I just like fantasize about all the things I'm going to get done. I'm going to drop them off for a whole week from 9 to 4.
9 to 4.
Oh, I've got like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday day. Already planned. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God,
for sure.
I'm going to go to the gym and Starbucks. I'm going to go to the mall.
Okay.
I'm not going to have some little rug rat that needs me to buy him a pretzel.
Right.
I'm like, this is going to be awesome.
I think I have kept Annie Ann's, is it Auntie Ann's, mm-hmm. and Wetzel Pretzel in business. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. With the cheese, and then they get it all over themselves because it's like messy. It's like not a good mall food. The only thing that kids should be allowed to eat at the mall is like a burrito.
I don't give them the option for the cheese and dip. It's like you get the pretzel. That's it. In the bag.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the stroller. I mean, I'm past that stage, but that was my go-to. Like, sit in the stroller, eat your pretzel.
Yeah.
We're going shopping. It's finally sunny here and warm.
Woo-hoo.
So thank the heavens. Got my ass outside and I'm wearing jean shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a happy little clam.
Yeah. You look fancy. You look like you're going to church if you're watching this on YouTube.
Listen, I was telling Gretchen before we started recording, sometimes when I'm going to something that's like, I still want to be super casual, but I don't want to look like a total casual slob, I will put a nice shirt on top with some jean shorts. So it's kind of like having a mullet, you know? It's like party on top. Or wait, no, it's
business
on top,
party
on
the
bottom.
That's
100% what
I'm not
going to
say anything about that. That's what she said. That's all I'm going to say about that.
That's what she said?
Mm-hmm. Party on the bottom.
Party on the bottom. With a sliver of Bieber.
Tab's
that's
favorite.
That's from our last Patreon.
Our Patreon. Tab's fan of Justin Bieber. That's what we're talking about. Don't be a dirty bird. Okay, let's get to some crime.
Okay, let's do it.
Today's case, Tab, is brought to us by listener suggestion from Lindsay Williams.
Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah.
Today, I am going to tell you about the case of Marie Carlson. It takes place in, of course,
Florida.
Lisa? Yes. Sunshine State. I know. It's worse than that, too. It's Fort Walton Beach, to be exact, which is adjacent to none other than
Pensacola.
That's right.
How did I guess? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to Florida this summer.
I know. It's a sign.
That we should go there?
Crime happens there. Yeah.
We need to
Pensacola. Yeah.
You're going to go to Florida, I think, also. So,
yeah.
We're just not going together.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah.
But we should go together.
We will.
Okay. At some point. Okay. Well, in Fort Walton Beach, Tab, you can buy a nice 3-bedroom home for about $350,000 and on up to just 1.5 to be on the water.
No way.
Sounds dreamy.
And is it on like the...
It's on a nice beach.
Nice
I told you, it's right next to Pensacola.
Water.
Yeah. California is just whack. Yeah. California real estate is wiggity whack. Okay. So Marie Carlson found herself there at the age of 37 after a few years of bouncing around the USA. Marie was a lady that had ants in her pants, which I can relate to. You know, I'm a mover.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said in the beginning, yeah, I just found out I might have to move. I'm like, I'm okay with it. You know, I get real tired of places. 4 years is the longest I've ever lived anywhere.
Okay, so 5 years for me. So I'm kind of a mover also.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
it's good when you move. You kind of get rid of your shit.
It's like a fresh start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was fun, smart. She had a degree in criminal justice, which is awesome.
Yes, I kind of envy that.
Yeah. But she suffered from bipolar disorder. And her family says that it prevented her from holding down a job for long periods of time, despite her just big heart and good intentions. I guess there's varying kinds of bipolar, and she had a good one. Like it, you know, she wasn't like violent or, you know.
Right.
Anything like that. Okay.
Okay.
So the deal with Marie was she had a daughter named Paris that she adored. And when her daughter was three, she left her in the care of her father, Paris's father, mm-hmm. Jeff Carlson in Kentucky. Now, that seems hard to imagine for me, but according to Jeff and her close family, they say it was incredibly brave of her to do. She recognized that she just wasn't in a stable position and Jeff could be the parent to provide that for their daughter. And Marie was still very much a part of Paris's life. She visited often and called all the time. And it sounds like she had a great relationship with her ex-husband, Jeff, despite their short-lived marriage not working out. And I mean, I just think that says a lot about both people because we often see people being so petty at the expense of their children.
Right.
But they didn't seem to. They both seem to be on the same page about having this little girl's best interest at heart.
Can I just say I love the name Paris so much?
Oh, my God. I do, too. Right? Yeah. So you yeah.
I should have.
You could have had
Paris.
A child. Tab's got a love for Paris.
I do. And I think if I had another girl, I probably would name her that. Not that I'm having another girl, but
if I ever did adopt a baby.
You
should have at least a Moulin Rouge party. We could go crazy on the outfits.
Oh, so fun.
So fun. Okay. Yeah. Goals. Okay. So although Marie's family was used to her moving around a lot, there was something different about her move to Fort Walton. And that was that this time Marie found herself very involved with a church by the name of Emerald Coast Cavalry Church. Her family was actually very happy for her when they learned she had gotten involved with the church. They thought, you know, what most people would think, that this was an excellent way to channel your energy while, you know, centering yourself. Mm-hmm. This church looks pretty happening. They have a Facebook page with 1,500 likes, and they have all the cool graphics on their website, you know, and Instagram. I think that over the last 10 years or so, with all the social media, churches have really stepped up their game in the cool department. Right?
Totally.
Yeah. So the Emerald Church is good size, but it's in a strip mall. So it's like it's not sexy on the outside. But when you see their interweb posts, I mean, it looks happening. So in 2010, it was happening. People credited this with their presence on YouTube. They had kind of a cool guy pastor by the name of James Flanders. He had quite the following on YouTube and as well as growing in-person numbers. James dresses real casual and seems like just a genuine guy. I can see why people are so fond of him or were so fond of him. I found a clip of one of his sermons on the YouTube, so I'm going to play it for you.
I get there and I start walking around and I can't remember what I went to the store for. And so trying to remember what it is I went to the store for, I walk around looking and then I end up buying something I didn't need. You ever do that one? And then this has happened to me too. After going to the store, forgetting why I went there, I went out to the parking lot and forgot where I parked. And what makes it even worse, this has happened to me two or three times. Not only do I forget where I parked, but I forgot what I had driven to the store. And if you're at Wally World, that can be bad. Now, we have an old white car and we have a truck. Now, the truck, it's got the little panic button on it. You can push it. And that panic button is not for someone attacking you. No, the panic button is, I can't find my car. And so I push the panic button, and if I don't hear honk, honk, I know I'm in the car. And so I start walking up and down looking for the car. If I hear honk, honk, I know I'm in the truck. So I keep pushing the button following the honk. Now, if you see me at Walmart, just smile and wave and say, that's our pastor. You gotta love him because the Bible says so, right?
Okay, so he's entertaining, right?
Yeah, like you want to be his friend.
Yeah. He mentions Tanya and in that clip, and that's his wife. Okay.
Okay.
Being the wife of the pastor she had a big role at the church too, being HBIC, a bitch in charge of the women's ministry.
Mm.
Tanya, by the way, she is ride or die for James, completely devoted. She is just buying everything he's selling. I would say, she doesn't question him. She's a much better wife than you or I.
Okay.
Okay. They also have a child. She was all grown up and gone now in 2010. Okay. So James and Tanya presented themselves to their church family as this model, you know, God-loving couple, but they weren't exactly as content as they wanted people to believe. And here's where it starts to get a little bit messy. And we know how it ends, but we don't know exactly how it began. So somehow this evangelical Christian couple took on a sister wife in the form of Marie. I am not sure if that's exactly what they called their arrangement, but for sure we know James and Marie started doing the no pants dance on the regular because we have loads of text messages between the two of them, and they are pretty graphic. So also Marie found herself pregnant and James was the father. Yeah. So there's that.
So was she not living with them? She was just kind of.
She was living with them.
Oh, she was. Okay.
So that her being pregnant with James being the father, that's kind of a pickle when you're a pastor, right? But James apparently thought.
It probably doesn't look so good.
It just depends on the church you're presiding over.
Maybe not, because we did talk about the Ten Commandments last week, and I'm pretty sure that adultery thing.
Listen. You know, I love a sister wife. Watch all the sister wife shows, you know?
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Because if it's consensual, it's not adultery. Is that what you're saying? Something like that?
Yeah.
Like if the wife says it's okay, it's okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
If that's
but
really
not everybody's as open-minded as I am. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. They're like you, close-minded.
Oh, thanks.
So James thought how he could kind of like sell this to his church was he could just use the Bible to ease his congregation into what he had talked Tanya into, which is that God is cool with extra wives. Apparently there's like some passages in like the Old Testament or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it didn't go over well.
Yeah, you think?
People apparently were like, what the hell? You know? And he had to kind of backpedal when that sermon was not so well received.
Hmm.
So then they decided to tell people that Marie had agreed to be their surrogate. And they had taken her in, you know, to take care of her and, you know, thank her for her womb, which is a pretty good plan. Given their position, right?
It's better than I was going to say, you know, Marie
trying
just
to talk a whole
miraculously
group of people.
Got.
Yeah.
Pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing, though. When sweet baby Grace was born, she did not look like Tanya or James. She looked like Marie. And Marie was Filipino. She was strikingly beautiful. Like total disco biscuit. Okay. And James and Tanya are pasty white folks. And the baby resembled its mama. So,
of course. You know, my friend Noreen, Filipino also, disco biscuit, and her kids too. She's married to a white guy, and her kids look like her.
Yeah. Yeah. Dominant genes. What you gonna do? Right. So they changed the story of how baby Grace came to be, and that was that Marie had left an abusive boyfriend and was all like down on her luck. And so they had decided to all three raise the baby together. So I think it's possible that Tanya went for the whole sister wife thing because she actually wanted another baby and she wasn't able to have any herself. I did read that she had had several miscarriages, so I mean, that's how I formed that opinion, but I'm just speculating that. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I think instead of the whole sister wife route, there's always adoption if you're fertility challenged, which is a beautiful thing. But for some reason, she thought having her husband start boning someone else and raising their offspring all together would be easier.
I mean, real challenging
personally,
to me.
I would rather fill out all that adoption paperwork. I know it's a lot, but, you know,
yeah,
that's just me, maybe, right? Okay. All right. So, however, Tanya imagined this, like, unique situation they all had going on, working out. After the baby was born, that's not how it went, right? So, for one, it turns out that Marie, not really into sharing the baby with Tanya. Marie was motherly. She adored this baby. She didn't want any advice from Tanya about, like, how to do it. Remember, she's 37. You know?
Yeah.
She knows what's up.
Right.
Also, she let it slip to a select few church ladies that she was doing it with James. And she wanted him all to herself. Mm-hmm. So apparently Marie worked at the church coffee shop. So, you know, ladies be talking, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. She had also told her mama that she thought James and Tanya now wanted her to bounce and just leave the baby
with
them.
Leave the baby.
And she didn't want to do that.
Yeah, they probably also thought, like, well, she did it already once.
You're
so why wouldn't
right.
she do it again, you know?
You're probably right. Yeah, but, you know, I think maybe she felt like she did that at that point of her life and she knew how hard that was for her to make that decision and she didn't want to do that again.
Right. I'm sure that is. Like, 37, yeah. I don't know how old she was at the first baby, but, you know, like, you grow up in your 30s a lot. So I could see even in your early 30s, you think one way, in your late 30s, you think another way.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. So tensions were running hot at the Flanders Carlson home. You can imagine, right? What to do. When baby Grace was 3 months old, everyone close to Marie received a text from her out of the blue. And it said she was leaving the area to do something she had always wanted to do, but she hadn't told them before because she didn't want anyone to stop her. And she was leaving the baby with James and Tanya and everything was fine.
That's not sus at all.
Right? Alarm bells went off immediately. It wasn't completely off base that Marie would pick up and leave, but those that knew her best knew that she wouldn't just leave her new baby behind. And if she did decide to take off, she wouldn't go anywhere without telling her ex-husband and now 7-year-old daughter that he was still caring for what her plans were. I mean, she was all up in their business all the time. Okay. And another thing was the tone of the text message just didn't sound like her.
Yeah.
One of her close friends in Florida picked up on that. She referred to Tanya and James as Tanya and James, and she'd never done that before. She always referred to them as James and Tanya. So subtle, but, you know, when you're just like, you just know.
Yeah.
So all the people in this group text are like talking with each other, and Marie's sister and her ex-husband call the police in Florida. And they actually took the call seriously. It helped that one of the detectives had just returned to work from maternity leave herself. And so her gut instinct was this woman did not just up and leave her 3-month-old baby behind. Right?
Right.
So
there's no way.
So she went and had a chat with the Flanders. And they said that they were sure that Marie would be back, but they did let the detectives know that Marie was bipolar. And she was medicated for it, but she hadn't been taking her medication. Mm-hmm. And she just does stuff like this. But they talked to her family who said, that is true. But also not so much. I mean, she does like to move, but she doesn't just disappear. That was not Marie's MO, you know? So they circled back to the Flanders and tried to piece together Marie's last known whereabouts, because at this point, it's been 2 weeks and she's a missing person. James said he stayed home from work with Marie the last day she was at the house because she was in a terrible mood. He said that around 4 o'clock, Marie took a nap, and so Tanya took the baby out shopping with her. He says around 6, Marie woke up, told him she wanted to start raising her daughter, Paris, but she needed to take care of herself first. He says after this discussion, he went for a run and then called Tanya at 8:30, who was still out shopping. And she, at night.
With the baby.
Exactly what my
3 months old.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And she picked him up a block from the house. Yeah, side note, exactly what you just said. I took a pause to, like, I mean, it's pretty hard. It's possible to be out shopping for 4.5 hours with a 3-month-old baby, but not likely.
No.
Anybody who's done it is like,
no.
And at 8:30 at night?
No, you can do it. You can, but it's not something you're going to want to do. That baby needs to be eating a lot, a lot.
Yeah, and go to bed in its own bed.
Yeah.
But 8:30 is late. I mean, my kids were going down by like 7 at that age, sometimes 6.
3 months old, you're still in the thick of it.
I mean,
it is like still basically considered, I mean, I guess at 3 months it's considered an infant, but still kind of a newborn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, and also, let me just tell you about Tanya. There's something fishy about this because she doesn't look like much of a shopper. I mean, okay.
No. Like, what did she buy? Did she buy stuff?
I mean,
stuff?
No
did she have
shade,
receipts?
But she didn't look like she, like, I mean, she wasn't spending, you wouldn't spend 4.5 hours at the freaking grocery store, right? Like, and I don't picture her being like checking out what is on sale at the Express like I was doing all morning, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying. Okay. So there's just something sus about that. Okay, so James also told police it was strange that Marie had packed up all her things, but she did not take them with her. So like,
her, it's so weird.
So strange.
Yeah. So strange.
So he said they were very concerned after 2 days of her not returning home. So you know what they did? They decided to drive around and look for her car. And he thought maybe she even parked at the airport and flew somewhere. So he went and checked. And you know what? He found it.
It was there.
It was there.
No way.
Yep. So he brought that truck home. The weird thing about this is that 7 hours before, a police officer in the area spotted Marie's truck parked in a deserted gas station and just made a note of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wasn't like a missing person at that time. So he just thought that's strange that nice truck is in this deserted gas station. So he just wrote it down. Good police work, right?
Good police work.
I'm also guessing what?
Airports have lots of security. You have to, like, they know when you're parking there and when you're not. So I'm sure they could pull up all
we
that.
We are going to get to that.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay. Well, I'm guessing James did not know about the police officer just doing due diligence, taking a note of the car being at that gas station. So based on what James and Tanya are telling detectives, they took the next logical step, which is they checked all the flights to see where she would have gone. You know, there's records of that.
Mm-hmm.
But she hadn't hopped on any flights. So they went through the tickets at the long-term parking lot, because when you enter, you get a ticket and then you return it. So they were checking for prints. Well, they found Marie's ticket, but they weren't able to get any prints off of it. So they checked the surveillance video, and it wasn't working that day.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
What are the chances of that?
Oh, damn it. So just dead end after dead end. Okay, but I'm telling you, this lady boss, new mama detective, kept on digging. And she started talking to members of the church and getting the skinny on what's up with Marie living with the Flanders. And she got some differing stories. She got the story about the abusive boyfriend that was the father. She also heard about the arrangement with Marie and the Flanders and the surrogacy thing. And she heard from a few women that Tanya had told them, well, yeah, James and Marie just had sex to impregnate her. But, you know, Tanya was like, cool with it. So, you know, whoa. The Flanders had also told people that they had a deal with Marie that she would stay and nurse the baby for 3 months and then just bounce and leave the baby as a gift with them because they had been so loving to her over the last few years.
Because that is definitely what you do.
Dude, I mean, that sounds kind of like Rumpelstiltskin-y, right?
Totally does.
I'm going to give you room and board. Now give me your baby.
That is so funny. Colton just learned that fairy tale and I had kind of forgotten it. And he told me that this week. I was like, this is real disturbing.
Yeah, it is really disturbing,
it's a really
right?
disturbing one.
Okay, so police are like, the fact that no one really has the same story, it's not jiving with what the Flanders, what's going on there, okay? So they asked them to voluntarily come in and answer some questions for them. But only Tanya showed up. So they say, you know, okay, spill it. She says, yeah. James and Marie were making sweet love, but they were all three happy because we were a plural family. But she admitted that they did not stay happy after the baby was born. Tanya said that Marie did not want to have a relationship with Grace, and that was the deal. She said that the reasons that the stories around the Emerald Coast House of the Lord varied were because, come on, y'all, I mean, our congregation was not cool with polygamy. So her point was that she was just protecting her, you know, her three-way love relationship, mm-hmm. but she had nothing else to hide. Okay. But she also mentioned that, I mean, the other like ding, ding, ding is she said that Marie did not want to have a relationship with the baby in this interview. And that is, that doesn't mesh with me. Okay. So 3 months after Marie disappeared, they got their hands on the cell phone records from the towers from both the Flanders and Marie. And what you know, Tanya and Marie's phones were not close, but James and Marie's phones both pinged off the same towers by his house when she sent that grouped text. And they also pinged together at the tower by the airport at the exact time she would be dropping her truck off there. Still, the police wanted more before they made an arrest. But they waited too long because James and Tanya and the baby decided that Florida was no longer their jam. So they went to Arizona where his family lived. Detectives thought that this is suspicious AF.
Weird.
Right?
And the whole congregation, aren't you the pastor? Are you?
Oh, well, they learned more suspicious 411 when the Emerald Coast youth pastor came in to talk to them and get some things off of his chest. He told them, okay, so y'all know when James was in the mental hospital that the people be talking and he left me in charge. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Mental hospital?
Mm-hmm.
When did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, they weren't really watching. The police weren't really watching James 24/7 because they didn't even know about that James had checked himself into a mental hospital and he had been there for 10 days.
Whoa.
So according to this guy, he said that he mentioned that the reason for checking himself in was because some things were weighing very heavy on him. And before that, he was talking to people about how would one go about getting themselves out of the country if, say, one needed that.
Yeeks.
Yeeks, right?
In Mexico. It's very close to Arizona.
True.
Borders are open.
True, right? So Mr. Youth Pastor also said that he knew at least part of the reason James and Tanya left was because he personally had confronted him about the talk going on around the church that James and Tanya were living polygamy. And I guess when he confronted him, James admitted it to this young man. And he told him, "All I can say is the last time I saw Marie, she was alive. But we did have a physical altercation before she left." He said that it left him with scratches and marks all over, and that's why he'd been wearing the long sleeves in the Florida sunny weather for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. How did the police not even catch that?
I don't know, right? Okay, so this young youth pastor, like this guy probably looks like he's like 22 or something, okay?
Okay.
Was like, dude, none of what you just said is cool at all. You have to resign. So he said, you know, I'm just saying, that's why James and Tanya left, right?
Oh
so
God,
this kid is pretty smart.
Yeah.
Okay, so with James and Tanya out of their way, police searched the shit out of their house. They brought in cadaver dogs and, you know, everything, but they couldn't find any sign of a homicide. But they did have Marie's computer, but everything on it had been deleted. But the police, you know, super techs, were still able to pull up her phone download off of it, like all of her conversations and everything.
Yeah.
But at the time when they were able to do this, it was in some indecipherable code or something. So they were kind of stuck at no sign of Marie. I mean, there was no, she was a missing person, but like there, so there was no bank activity. Mm-hmm. Or any contact
phone
with anyone
anything.
She knew. Yeah. So they had concluded, I mean, really, this isn't a missing person. This is likely a homicide. But
we just don't know where she is.
Right. Solving a homicide with no body is a big challenge.
Hey, Grutch.
Hey, Tab.
How's your vitamin routine going?
My vitamin routine has been going better than ever since I started taking care of vitamins. I took the easy, convenient quiz online, just like talking to a nutritionist. And I know that I'm taking the right combination because I feel great and I get these cute little packets delivered.
Daily. I mean, they're like little daily packets. So, you know, I was always opening up all those bottles every single day. Not anymore.
Forget about it. Who needs that?
It's amazing, you guys. And listen, I know we're in February already, but we can still have a resolution, right? A New Year's resolution, a 2021 resolution, and make it small, impactful, and get your daily vitamins.
Yeah, self-care. Make it a priority. Take your vitamins.
Take your vitamins. So, you guys, easy online quiz at Care Of, and we have 50% off for you.
Boom.
Boom. Just go to takecareof.com and enter the code CLINK50. That's right. Go to takecareof.com and enter code CLINK50 for 50% off.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
So the case went cold for years.
No way.
Yes. Until they got some cold justice with the help of Kelly Sigler.
Oh, you know? No way. Yes,
oh, we love her. We love her so much.
I almost put a picture for your birthday up of her with us.
Oh, well, we should post a picture with this case. Yeah. Okay. So she took on the case, and the first thing she did was get some new technology on the phone records from the computer, and they were now actually able to read them. So it's Kelly and the original, you know, new mama detective that had started working the case, those two working together. I mean, mm-hmm. I just love it, right? Two lady bosses.
Yeah.
And they are reading all over the texts, and these texts were enough to make these girls blush, right? Like James and Marie. Oh, yeah. James and Marie were talking dirty. And, you know, they were like doing it from the church, which I'm sure got them like extra hot, which, I mean, I guess that works for some people, but that does not seem sexy to me. Whatever.
Such a crude, you.
I am, right? Okay. So the whole three-way dynamic now really snaps into focus when you can see all of the conversations, right? And mm-hmm. it's clear that Tanya wants out of this relationship with James and Tanya, but she wasn't going anywhere without her BB. Okay.
Marie wanted out, but because you said Tanya, Marie wanted out of the relationship.
Marie wants out. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're right.
But
okay.
Not without the baby.
That's right. Okay. So in the episode of Cold Justice, which was filmed in 2015, the mama, lady boss detective, and her partner fly out to Arizona to question James and Tanya about new evidence that they had gathered with Kelly.
Tell me, what was he doing for a living at this point?
I don't know.
Okay.
He does legit have family out there, so I think maybe they were just like living off of family. There
I'm just
is actually
if he started another church.
Well, there is actually a clip of him on the internet hawking like gold coins.
Okay.
So maybe he was doing something like that. I don't know.
All right.
Okay. So they called up Tanya and she answered. Mm. She was feeling feisty, or maybe that's how she always is, but I thought she was a real bitch. She did answer some questions for them, though, but she didn't give them any new information. She was like, so what? He told some people he wanted out of the country. I don't think that's weird at all. They asked if they could speak with James, and she was like, I don't think so. He is in the ICU with his father. And the detective said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And she said, no, you're not. So So, whew, okay. They tried calling James directly, but he did not pick up the phone. So when the episode ends, they had managed to get the state attorney's office to review the case and possibly charge James, but that didn't happen for like a minute. Okay, so I read the report that they actually submitted for review. And it said that at some point, James had spoke with someone from the church in Florida and told them that him and Tanya had stopped at a cemetery in Sedona, Arizona, which is one of my favorite places. But it's about 5 hours from Cochise, Arizona, which is where they were living.
Okay.
And it's not on the way if you're coming from Florida. Like, if you were coming from Florida, you would take, like, the 10, which is, like, the lower part of Arizona, right?
Through, like, New Mexico.
Yeah, and Sedona it is, like, way up off of, of I-40.
Northern.
Yeah. And you don't just drive through Sedona. You got to, like, get off of I-40 and then, you know,
get up head in the mountains.
Head up mountains. Yeah. So I thought that was a little suspicious, right? Because it's not along the way. Actually, it's about 10 hours out of your way. So anyways, he says they happened to stop there and they came across a headstone that said Marie Carlson. So he told these church folk, you know, Marie's just dead for sure. That is totally random. But I just thought, when I read that, that's just randomly creepy. I mean, creepy enough for them to put it in their report. Okay.
Right.
So after that report was submitted, it took about another year and a half for them to charge and arrest James. But they did. Yes. PTL. Okay. So they rounded his ass up and took him back to Florida. Thing was, they still didn't feel that they had that strong of a case to convict him at trial. So what they did was...
They
don't have a body. So with the consent of Marie's family, who still just desperately wanted answers, they offered him a plea in exchange to tell them what happened and where Marie's body was. So James pled guilty to manslaughter and told detectives that what happened was that Marie was having some kind of mental episode and he restrained her in a bear hug until she was lifeless. And then he buried her in the backyard, the same backyard that they had searched 6 years prior. They had missed her.
No. Way.
Yeah. He took them to the spot.
By the way.
Yeah.
You probably should not bury somebody that you just killed in your backyard.
Dude. Hello.
Like, that's really stupid.
He's really lucky that they missed her. Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's very unfortunate because they would have arrested him.
My God.
Yeah. Saved everybody 6 years
worth
of grief.
How did they miss it? They're like,
I don't know. They said they had cadaver dogs and like ground penetrating radar.
Yeah. So did they find her?
They found her. He did do a good job. She was buried really. You can see, I've seen the picture of where they found her. She was 5 feet deep. I mean, deep, right? It wrapped up in a blanket. So James says that Tanya knew nothing. And continued to know nothing all this time. And when it happened, she was at the store. I mean, I'm calling bullshit on that. I am calling bullshit on that. She knew what was up. I mean, she might not have been there when it actually happened, but it takes a minute to dig a 5 foot hole in your yard.
She probably was there when it happened. And he was like, you need to take off for at least 4 or 5 hours.
Dude, totally.
And then she
was
like,
called her.
Okay.
Yeah. He probably called her when he was like, okay, I'm done. You can come home now. That's why he called her at 8:30. It wasn't because he was like out on the run. I mean, if you've been out running,
no.
Why are you going to have somebody pick you up when you're a block away?
No, that's what happened. He's like, done. You can come home. We're all good.
Okay. Also, I mean, there's this big hole in their backyard, which their backyard was not big. I mean, it's like average size backyard.
Okay. And that's what I was thinking. Okay. Like, do they have like a forest out there or?
No. So don't you think at some point she would be like, that is so weird. Marie is gone, vanished, disappeared. And now there is a freshly dug area the size of, say, a grave in our backyard.
So weird.
So weird. I mean, I don't know. I think they planned it together, but, you know.
I don't know if they planned it together. They possibly did. They probably, yeah, they planned it together, 100%.
So.
But he's trying to save her ass. And tell me what he got for manslaughter, because the last manslaughter case last week was 16 years.
Not that much. Okay. It's
5 years.
Let me tell you what's even more bananas is than James' sentencing is that Tanya is still living her best life in Arizona raising Grace. Okay.
Yikes.
So James was sentenced to 15 years with the possibility of parole after 11, which he's scheduled to get in 2028.
Okay. I
mean, at least I looked at his recent mugshot. That's what his scheduled release date is.
Do you think him and Tanya are still?
Yeah, I think he's going to resume. Yeah. His life with, I mean, his wife and the child. Who she'll be grown by then, but whose biological mother he admitted to killing. Yeah. So fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
That I mean, it's real hard for that kid. Because at some
that
point,
is really hard for that kid. Oh my God.
Terms with all of that, right? It's like.
Yeah. And you can't really take her away from Tanya at that point because that is the only mother she's ever known. But, yeah. I mean, it's too damn bad they didn't find that body earlier because then Marie's family could have been raising this little girl the whole time.
Yeah. Do you remember that case where the woman stole the baby, raised the child till she was like 16? It came out that she stole this woman's baby. And then it was like this thing where the child who wasn't really a child anymore was like, I still love the mom that raised me.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It's so challenging because
it is.
It was an awful thing for this person to do, but she raised the child like a loving mother. And so, how can you? And that's the only mom she's ever known. She doesn't even know the mom that gave birth to her. And then I mean, it's just such a fucked up thing.
It is. And I mean, poor Marie's family. I mean, they feel terrible that they'll never get to know this little girl or tell her anything about her mother, you know, or anything. I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So James, I mean, one last thing is, so I will post his most recent mugshot. I mean, he looks all right. He actually looks like he has a tan. So
really?
I don't know what they got going on there. Yeah.
Tan or face lotion, I guess.
I don't know. I guess they get some, he gets getting his fair share of outdoor time. Prison is working for him, I guess.
I thought they don't, I mean, listen, the jail that I saw in Los Angeles, their outdoor time, it's like this concrete area that has above, like way above, like 10 feet above, has some mesh to the outside. That's what they call outside. There's not like
but
a
there's
yard.
All different
but there are
kinds
prisons
of,
that have like actual
yards.
Yeah,
I mean, you could be like, I mean, Orange is the New Black and have gardening and I mean, get a lot of time outside.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Just don't get locked up in Los Angeles City. I'm just saying it's a real shithole.
Oh, heck no. Or listen, I watched this show on Netflix called Jailbirds or whatever, and they're in like Oakland, I think.
Yeah, same.
You,
no way.
You do not want to get locked up there. No.
Oh, no way.
Stay out of trouble. Mm-mm. Okay, well, that's a wop.
Okay. We didn't talk about what we're drinking, but I am back on, see it on the YouTube. I'm back on the Crystal Light and Perrier. It is a real good summer drink, guys.
It really is a good summer drink.
It really is. So you either put the vodka in or you leave it out. Whatever way you choose to drink it, it is so delightful. And I'm having a summer little get together at my house with a couple kids coming over.
So fun.
Tomorrow. Not really tomorrow. We're recording early, but the day after Memorial Day. And so I went like crazy at Target buying. They have the cutest summer stuff right now.
Oh, God, I can't wait to go to Target without my kids when they go to camp. I can never. Yeah. I haven't been to Target in so long because my kids will just want toys.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm telling you, they have upped their game on the cuteness department of their summer splash stuff. I mean, I got these like pinwheels and all kinds of stuff. Also, Gretchen, remember, I sent you, this is not an ad or anything, but it is magical. That face thing that you wash your face with, my mom got it for me for my birthday.
Yeah, we can talk about this. Tabs,
did you get
this? No, because I got to thinking about it. So what, you got to wash that thing in the washing machine every time you use it?
No. You wash your face with it for like, okay, so you put, it's like a cloth, super soft. It's called the Magic Eraser, right? No, mm-hmm. It's not called the Magic Eraser. Hold on, I'm going to tell you guys what it is called. I think it says like 10 times before you put it in the wash. I just put it in the wash when I wash my towels, right? That's the only, like, that's when you wash it, when you like, whatever, when you wash your towel, just throw it in there. And it's magic. It's just, you put water on it, it takes off all your makeup without having to do makeup remover and soap. You don't even use soap. Okay. That's it. Water, wipe, done.
I'm skeptical.
It's better. What?
I'm skeptical.
I wear the Thrive mascara, which is really hard to get off of your eyes, if anybody knows. I love the mascara, but it is kind of difficult to get off. And that's probably why it's so good, you know? But I will just tell you, it comes off with this towel. And I just bought 4 of them to give as gifts. So it's called Makeup Eraser, the original makeup eraser. Okay. Promise you guys, you will enjoy
it. Good. Good. Okay.
Also, if you haven't followed us on Instagram or Facebook, we have a group called Housewives of True Crime Group. And we also have a Housewives of True Crime Keto, My Eto, whatever you want to
diet.
How's it going?
Listen, I'm waiting for your friend Sally to send me some book.
Oh, I know. Okay,
Sally, so if you're listening, hello.
She is. Her brother wrote a book on keto. He's a doctor. And I will post it also and tell you guys what it's called when we get it. And he talks about why it's good for you, which
I need
is
some convincing
awesome.
Again.
I know.
So I was waiting for that. That's my excuse this week.
Sierra Faith XO, she is just the cutest little disco biscuit. And she mimicked us this
Aww.
Week.
Like, that's so funny.
It's so funny. I love it. I love it, you guys. So if you will please tag us in all of your posts on Instagram or Facebook, we would love it. If you love us, we love you. Also, if you want to give us a review, you can on Apple Podcasts. That's fun. And if you really want to support us, you can log on to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime and join our Patreon group for extra episodes. And some of our beginning episodes are on there too. All the way back when we were just noobs.
Green. That's what they call it. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Yeah.
Hope you have red, white, and blue happiness. Yummy. Eat your hot dogs. I'm going to get my mouth around one this weekend for sure.
Oh my God. I could. Oh my goodness. Okay. I think we're done.
You're the one.
Clink, clink.
We're out.
All right. Clink.
Clink, clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.